Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In our current study, we're learning that giving is a matter of appreciation, and according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, giving is proof of our salvation. Our topic is the generosity of God, and why that generosity impels us to be generous in turn. Today, the gift we must receive before we can give at all. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Having a grateful heart is proof that God is doing a genuine work in us. Pastor Lutzer comes now to conclude a look at the generosity of God.
I'd like to make three very important points that I hope we never, never forget. First of all, remember this, that giving is a matter of appreciation. It's not a matter of duty. It's not a matter of duty. Maybe you were brought up in a church where everybody was told you should give a certain amount. You know, we just came from Europe recently, so that's on my mind. In Europe, in some of the countries, you support the church through your income tax. I think it's 6%. And so many, many Europeans are very angry about that because they don't go to church. I have to tell you a little secret just between us. Most Europeans go to church when they hatch, match, and dispatch. That's about it. And you know, one of the reasons they do that is because they are so sick and tired of having to support the church, whether they attend or not, whether they're born again or not, they have to give to the church. One day on a previous tour, I was in a hotel I was sitting with a German who was drinking his beer, and I ordered Coke. I might explain, I mean Coca-Cola. I thought I'd just throw that in. And he told me that he signed off on the fact that he would not give that percentage to the church. Therefore, he's not allowed to even attend the church since he doesn't give it in his income tax. And he said that he's going to give his money to animal shelters, the 6% he'd give to the church. Now, I'm all for animal shelters. Don't write me any letters about it. But I really thought, you know, that's really interesting. I won't support the church, but I will support an animal shelter. Now, maybe you were brought up in a church here in America, but the expectation was there everybody should be tithing. Now, I'm in favor of tithing. I think it's a good benchmark. But that was an Old Testament teaching, which also was something like a tax. And so what I'm saying to you is, you should give a percentage, and I'll clarify this in the next message on the generosity of God. You should certainly give a percentage. When Rebecca and I were first married, we didn't give a full 10%. I think we were developing our understanding of giving, but as God prospered us, we have been able to go beyond that, and we seek going beyond that, because it isn't a matter of saying, now you owe the church this. No. Because what you are interested in is making sure that your heart is right and you become as generous as you possibly can be, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, no matter your background, no matter how hard you work for your money, because even then it belongs to God. You'll notice it says very clearly that the Macedonians, they blessed them. They gave out of extreme poverty. Poverty did not stop them from giving. There's a second lesson, and that is this, that giving is proof of salvation. And I'm not contradicting myself. It's proof of salvation. Look at your Bibles are open. It says in verse 8, I say this not as a command. In other words, I'm not laying a duty on you, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. Jesus said to none other than the man by the name of Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to your house. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was rich. I read the passage this morning in Luke 19. The Bible says he was rich because he was fraudulent. And as a tax collector, they did all kinds of cheating. And then Jesus has lunch with him, and he says, look, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor, and if I wronged anybody, I'm going to repay him fourfold. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. You find somebody whose heart has been changed by the gospel, and I'll tell you, salvation has come to his house. And there are young couples today who never even speak about what they should be giving. If they have 20 bucks, they throw it in the offering basket, and they think it's sufficient. Well, you know, I made a statement here several years ago, and some people reacted a little bit to it. I said, if you're stingy, you're probably not a Christian. And some people didn't like that. I think that there are stingy Christians because they don't understand the enormity of the price that was paid for their redemption. So there are. But how in the world can we be a stingy people? You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be enriched and become the heir of all things. And you're stingy? All the way through Scripture, Jesus uses it as a proof of salvation. Now, there are people who are unsaved who also sometimes give very generously. And that can be a great misunderstanding on their part. By that, I mean this. Sometimes it's dangerous when they do that because they think they are buying salvation. And so they say, well, I'm thinking again, you know, having been in England recently of Henry VIII, who had six wives, two of whom he eliminated through taking them to the Tower of London and having them beheaded. There are some guys, you know, who get their own way rather consistently. When he died, before he died, he gave the church all kinds of wealth and all kinds of money so that they could say a lot of masses for him because he knew that he was in trouble unless the church bailed him out. And I might say in passing, the church was unable to bail him out. But rich people who give sometimes who aren't believers, they think, well, surely God should be impressed. Look at how much money I've given. And that can be deceptive because you cannot buy the gift of God with money. In fact, that's my third point. The first step to real generosity is to receive the free gift of salvation. And don't be confused about this. You come to Jesus Christ and you cannot buy any salvation. You cannot buy any righteousness. It has to come as a free gift. And if you don't understand that, you don't really understand the gospel. It cannot, absolutely cannot be purchased by our good works, including sacrificial giving. Just can't be done. There is a story I read some time ago about a Hindu in India who became very good friends with a missionary. And the missionary was trying to explain to this Hindu that salvation has to be a free gift. Of necessity, it has to be free. But the Hindu thought to himself, you know, you have to go to Delhi, you have to get on your knees, you have to work at this business of salvation, perhaps bathe in the right river, whole list of various things. But before the missionary came back to the United States for a while, this generous Hindu gave the missionary the most perfect pearl one could ever imagine. Now, you know that pearls are garnered through divers who go to the depths of the sea. And this Hindu said to the missionary, this pearl, which is really a pearl of great price, I'm giving to you. My son drowned and died as a result of getting it from the bottom of the ocean. The missionary decided to make a point. He said to this man, oh, let me buy it from you. The Hindu was insulted, rightly so. I mean, come on. My son dies getting this pearl, and you think that you can pay me for it. What an insult to the huge sacrifice that was made that you could have this very beautiful object. But then the Hindu got the message. That's why we can't buy salvation. It was purchased by Jesus, and Jesus gave us a memorial. And he said, often what you should be doing is you should be drinking the cup and you should be eating the bread to remind yourself that it was my body that was broken for you. It was my blood that was shed on your behalf. And salvation cost me death. And that's why the Bible says we were redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Oh no, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you can't purchase that. You can only humbly receive it. And even now while I'm speaking, however you may be listening to this, whether it's on the internet, whether it's by radio, or right here in the wonderful sanctuary of the Moody Church, if you have never savingly believed on Christ, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It has to be a gift. And after you have received that gift, then you begin to say to yourself, in light of the fact that he has given to me all this so freely, at such high cost, how can I not contribute to his work and to do so sacrificially? The gospel reminds us that it is the motivation for giving. Let's pray. Our Father, we do want to thank you today that you have given us your Son. We thank you that God so loved the world that he gave. I thank you that he is a generous giving God. We ask today, Lord, that you will make us a generous giving people. Break us out of our own selfishness, our own stinginess, and make us generous for your honor and glory. May we overflow with the joy of giving. Well, my friends, speaking about giving, my heart is so full of gratitude for all the many of you who have contributed to this ministry this past year. Be assured of this, we do not take your gifts for granted. We're so thankful that because of people just like you that we're able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day in 50 different countries and 7 different languages. So as we look back over the past year, we have nothing but gratitude. Gratitude to God, thanking you also, our ministry partners, and even as we anticipate the brand new year, it is with deep appreciation that God has given us this opportunity. For a gift of any amount, you'll also receive a devotional for the new year.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Generosity of God, a look at why we in turn should be a generous people. The Christian life requires disciplines of many kinds. Next time, we bring you a series on the disciplines of the soul. Plan to join us. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win, and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.